Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco. We are coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and today is March 7, 2007. For today's show, we are going to be talking about hand painting or hand coloring in photography. And basically what hand coloring is adding color selectively to a photograph. So what you would want to do typically is have a black and white or a monotone photograph, could be sepia toned or any tone actually, blue toned, and then adding color on top of that. And there's several ways to go now, especially because digital photography is so popular that adds a new dimension. Traditionally, what you would do is you would actually paint on top of the photograph. So you would print the photograph by yourself if you have the skill, or you could just simply get something back from the photo lab if it's black and white, and then you would selectively add color to the actual photograph. And there's quite a few materials that you could use to do this, and there's quite a few papers that you could try, and we're going to try and touch a little bit on everything today. It's quite an involved process to become really good at it, but just to play around and to practice, I think we can give you the basics today. And let's get into it right away. So straight up, even though we're giving you a cursory view over how to do this, you should probably check out a couple of books if you can. And they don't have to be these books, but these are two books that I really like. One is called Creative Photo Printmaking by Teresa Airey. And I'll put the exact title in the show notes. And this is a book all about creative techniques within photography, creative printing techniques in particular. And it's mostly old school, so it mostly has to do with traditional photography. But there is a really good section on hand coloring in that book, and I highly recommend it. They talk about different materials and different papers and the best technique, and it's really succinct and very well written. So that is one that I recommend. Another one that I recommend, again, because I have it and I've used it, Hand Coloring Photographs, How to Create Color Images from Black and White Photographs, and that's by James A. McInnes. And that book is only about hand coloring. So it's quite an in-depth book. Again, it talks about different materials you can use, techniques you can use, and it's very in-depth. So if you're at all interested in it, and I highly recommend trying it, it really adds quite a lot of artistic fun to your photography. Just adding selective color on certain images really makes certain photographs pop. And you can really mix photography and a bit of painting to kind of get a mixed media work that's, you know, photography based, but still mixing media. It's so much fun, and some of the results are really, really beautiful. I'm going to post a couple of my own images also in the show notes or links to them, and you can get an idea of the effects that you can achieve by using a hand painting. So if we want to talk about how to do this traditionally first, again, just print your own photograph or get one from the lab. I would highly suggest that you start off by using a matte paper and not a glossy paper, because the material that you put on the photograph, whatever you're using, and we'll get into that shortly, if it's matte, it kind of catches the material more than if it's glossy. If it's glossy, the material, let's say it's a paint, kind of just sits on the top more, but if it's matte or has a bit of tooth, it will grab the material better, and you'll have a much more pleasing result. Also, to paint on glossy materials, it catches fingerprints quickly. All in all, it's been my experience and the experience of many others that matte papers are much easier to use. So that would definitely be tip one, use a matte paper. Another tip when hand painting or trying to hand paint for the first time is get some tape and get a low tack tape. So you're gonna have to go to like a specialized art store, and low tack means low stickiness. And what you wanna do is you wanna put that paper, the photographic paper, on some type of a surface that's larger than the paper. So if you're using an 8x10, give yourself, you know, 5-6 inches on all sides around the 8x10. If it's 11x14, add 5 or 6 inches. Just add some space and then carefully tape the photo so that it's really flat onto that space. By using a low tack tape, you won't get any residue on the image and it'll be far easier to work with. You'll be able to spin it around, it'll be flat, you can choose the little areas you want to work with, and it just makes your life a lot easier. So that would definitely be a big recommendation. If we're going to talk about what we're going to use to paint on the photograph, well, first and foremost, we need paint or some other material. And there are loads and loads of things that you could try. You can try anything from crayons, markers, colored pencils, actual paints, watercolor paints. You can really use a lot of different materials, and the levels of creativity here are basically endless. If you find a style that you like, just use it. Try and develop your own style. Look at other people that have done hand painting. Again, I'm going to leave some links of good hand painters. And, try and see what style they're using and then develop your own style. Personally, I've used mostly colored pencils and paints. And in particular, the paints that I've used are called Marshalls. And it's really, really popular as a material that other photographers are going to use to hand paint their traditional images. Again, these are traditional images, so these are on photographic paper that you would have gotten from a lab or printed yourself. And the beautiful thing about Marshalls is that they have a translucency to them. So when you apply the paint to the photograph itself, the detail underneath the paint shows through. Now this is really, really, really cool, and not many paints are like that. So it's really a special paint to use, and it's one of the most common ones for that reason. And basically you want to apply very, very light coatings of this Marshall paint and onto certain areas and check how much detail is showing through. So you'll put on a coat and then you'll wipe it off a little bit ever so slowly. Really, the degree of fineness when you're doing this is quite intense if you want to get that fine. Personally, when I was doing this very frequently, I would be using toothpicks, actually, with cotton on top of them. So you would take a toothpick and just on the tip use a wee bit of cotton in a point and then just dab it with a little bit of paint, and that way you'd be able to paint in the details like an eye or some lips or something like that. For larger areas, you could just use larger pieces of cotton that you fold and cover larger areas with them. Another tip or trick that's really useful is the level of darkness or lightness in the photograph. It's been my experience that there needs to be a bit of detail in the area that you're painting for the best effects. So if the area that you're painting is too specular or pure white, it's not going to quite look as nice as if there's just a wee bit of detail in it. I mean, these are, you know, level two tips, shall we say, but it's interesting to get good tips straight up when you're just starting. It makes your life easier. So if the area, you know, like the sky, has absolutely no detail, it's not going to look as great as if there's some light cloud behind it, if you're using Marshalls in particular. If you're using a more opaque paint, kind of, you know, like oil paints or something that the detail will not show, then it matters less. And you can paint the sky whatever you want, if we're using the sky as an example, because you're not going to see the detail underneath anyway, so you're just going very heavy. And you can mix and match paints as well, trying more than one paint per image. Might be easiest just to stick with one type at the beginning, but after you've played around for a bit, why not mix and match? Why not? The hardest part that people will quickly realize is the edges. So let's say you're doing a picture of a face and you don't want the hair for whatever reason. You just want the face to be, you know, flesh toned, and you'll paint the lips and maybe the eyebrows, but you want to leave the hair black and white. So the boundary between the face and the hair, that's where the skill comes in. And you're going to want to use very gentle strokes around the edges. And this is yet another reason why I suggest getting a book just to get something more official or technical right with you while you're doing your first painting. It'll really help you out. But basically the edge between where the paint is and where the paint isn't, that's where the magic lies. And in order to get the smoothest transition between the edges, this does require a bit of a deft hand and some removing of paint and smoothing of the paint, with a paintbrush or cotton or whatever material you're using to apply the paint, but it's all about the edges. So I warn you in advance that the edge detail is going to make the difference between good hand painting and fantastic hand painting. Now, if we're talking prints from a digital camera, what you will need to do is basically take a picture and bring it to a lab, preferably a photo lab, and have them print it monotone, whatever color you want, or black and white again, and have them print it on matte paper or the mattest or dullest paper that they have. Ask them to give it back to you. If you have a couple extra bucks, ask them to make one print normal, and you could ask them to make one print a bit lighter. Again, in general, lower contrast is better than higher contrast. And you want it to have a bit of detail in it. So maybe just spend a couple of extra bucks, get one slightly lighter, and then get a normal one. And then just try playing. For the first one or two that you do, I would suggest just playing. Just get a small image, maybe get a 5x7 or an 8x10, and just play with that. See how it goes. See how you like it at first. But if you're doing digital, again, have a photo lab print you something matte. If you go to one of the machines, very often you put your card in or your disc in, and there's only one type of paper, and it's usually glossy paper. And you're not going to enjoy the results, as we spoke about before, if the paper is glossy, so get some matte paper. Now, for those of us who are set up at home or in a home office with an inkjet printer, I could tell you straight up that I have not had too much success using those papers. I haven't tried very many different papers, but I have tried two brands already. I printed them from my inkjet in black and white, and I tried to apply using Marshalls again. That's primarily what I used, but I did use color pencils on this test. And I tried to apply this hand painting onto an inkjet print. So far, my results have not been good. Basically, there's no coating on the print, so the paint mucks with the detail on the paper itself. It's a completely different process. So as of yet, I haven't had any success hand painting directly on an inkjet print. If any one of you has, please shoot me the name. Please, I'm so into trying this on an inkjet print. So if either of you have, or if anyone has more experience than I do in this domain, please let's all learn together and send me a brand name by email or comment on the blog, etc. But basically, yeah, I haven't had any good success printing directly from my inkjet printer. Now, you may say, well, why do you even have to print on the print itself when you can use a graphics program? And that's my next point. There's a different effect altogether, and I don't even know if you could really call it hand painting because you're not actually painting if you do this, but you could achieve very similar effects using Photoshop. It's not going to be identical. Those of us that know hand painting well will be able to see the difference, but you'll still be able to have a lot of fun just by using selective color in a graphics program like Photoshop. So basically what you want to do is you want to remove the color from the image. If it's a color image, you just desaturate the whole image or change modes, either grayscale mode or put it in a lab color mode and get the color out, and then selectively add color back in to the photograph via computer. So you'll make a selection in a certain part of the image, and you'll be able to select really, really well. I mean, that's part of the beauty of working digitally is the precision that you can get if you make a really good selection. And you could just fill in those areas by hand. If you have a Wacom tablet or some type of writing tablet, that'll make your life easier for sure, 100%. But if not, you could still do it with a mouse as well and have a lot of fun. A couple of tips when using Photoshop or another graphics program to hand paint is play with the opacity a lot. So whatever color you're going to use, go lighter, try much lighter. You could just change the opacity using a slider. So if you want to make lips red, for instance, choose the color red, and then don't paint it with 100% opacity. Start with 50%, so that again, some of the detail below is going to show through, and that will kind of emulate the effect that I talked about at the beginning of the podcast. So that's definitely a tip. Use the opacity slider. Another tip would be to use a soft edge brush. You can vary the hardness or softness of brushes in many graphics programs, and use a softer brush. Another tip, save your selections. So if you want to paint a certain area and you've completely selected it, save that selection. You may need to come back to it after, or you may want to try stuff after on that particular section, so save your selections. And then the last tip, which works both for traditional and digital photography, is the effect of this monotone or toning of the image and then hand painting it. So in my case, for instance, many of the images that I painted in traditional fashion, I would have toned that image first. So I would have sepia toned it or selenium toned it, which is basically just dumping the actual photograph in a bath of chemicals, which changes the overall color of the actual image. And then I would paint onto that image after it's completely dry. And my two favorites are selenium and sepia. And both of those give a browny/purpley type tone, depending on what the paper is, developers, all kinds of variables. But brownish, you know, slightly purplish tones for selenium. And that way you have a different color of base, and the actual paints that you put on have a different effect and make for some really lovely effects. If we're talking only digital, then of course you can easily just tone the photograph in Photoshop or another graphics program. Just choose whatever color you want. I'm not going to get into how to use those programs, but you could easily make any photograph, just remove the color and make it a monotone or a duotone photograph, and then that would be its base upon which you could then add color selectively. And if anyone else has anything to add about this, you know, I do have some experience in it, but it's not my end-all and be-all of photography. So there surely are many, many people with a lot more experience than I. If you have tips to share, I'd love to get them via email, via the blog, email photography.ca@gmail.com. Just respond to the blog. Be great to have a conversation about this, to learn from each other. So if you have some images you'd like me to see or commenting on this podcast, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. And that will cover it for today's kind of introductory podcast to hand coloring. Like I said, I certainly spent, you know, a good hour to an hour and a half just reading up before I ever tried my first print many moons ago. So I would suggest that you do the same thing. Do a little bit more extra research and then just get into it, because there's nothing like hands-on. You know, don't waste forever reading, but do a wee bit of research first, maybe either on the net or with regard to those books that I mentioned at the beginning. So thanks again for listening, everyone. We will try our best to come back to you next week with another topic of conversation, and have a good shooting week, everyone. Bye for now.